This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Uma and Richard. Now, if there ever was a topic that seems so outrageously difficult to talk about, to explain in a sentence or two, it would be quantum physics or quantum mechanics. We could throw out ideas like Schrodinger's cat, the Bohr model, the photoelectric effect, which would probably get you asking, what? But imagine for a second that you're so interested in a topic, so driven to find out about something you don't understand, that you spend a lot of your spare time delving into textbooks, enrolling yourself on university courses, even creating a web page, simply because that's what you want to know, simply because that's what you're passionate about. If you've ever felt like that about any topic, then this is the interview for people like you, because in the studio with us, we have Fabien Bouhier. Am I right?
That's correct.
Yes. All right. For his daytime job, he works for Twitter.
That's correct as well.
Which in itself is very, very cool. But at night, when the sun goes down and the stars come up, for a brief few hours, he is a quantum physicist. Well, almost.
I try. I try my best. It's tough, but I try, yes.
So, Fabien, tell us, you work for Twitter as your day job, but of course, at night, you study, you learn, you try to master everything in the world about quantum physics and quantum mechanics. It's not an easy topic in itself. So what possessed you to start down this path?
I was just naturally very curious about it. And when I start reading about quantum physics, to be honest, I never really understood it. It was so complicated. When you pick up a book, it's just so many complicated words and equations and graphs. And for me, it was just impossible to understand it. Hmm. So,
and at that point, most people would just put down that book and go away.
Yes, exactly. I throw it, you know, and be a bit, you know, very, very upset about it, because it looks like only a certain type of people can have access to that knowledge.
Right.
And I thought that it was very unfair. So I tried to find ways to access that knowledge without any mathematics. And there's a lot of platforms available online that help you, you know, get that knowledge for free. And I decided to build my own. So that's the reason why I'm staying awake at night.
Yeah. But I mean, even when you look at those graphs and you look at those equations, they do look beautiful, right? They look as though you could almost, it's almost like a painting almost, you know? This is what, but I still don't understand it. I still don't grasp the very concept of it. What was that moment when you thought, you know what, I'm sick of staring at these equations. I want to go back and I want to find out what it actually means.
That specific moment,
yeah,
was when I, because I'm from France, so English is not my native language.
I never would have guessed.
Really? I'm sorry. Yes, sir. But even though I was reading quantum physics in French or English, it was impossible for
right.
me. And I just Googled, you know, quantum physics easily explained. And it took me to some YouTube videos with this guy called, this channel called Minutes of Physics.
Right.
And it's like 2-3 minute segments about quantum mechanics. And he's doing all those cool drawings to explain Schrodinger's cat and all that stuff. So I found that very, very amazing. It was really amazing. And I was like, I want to do the same thing, but in an easier way,
right?
You know, for people like me who are French, who don't really speak good English, you know, and build a platform like this for everybody for free.
So in all this time, can you now explain quantum physics and quantum mechanics simply? If I asked you, could you do it in a sentence, would you be able to?
The approach I have is more on a philosophical way. So Schrodinger's cat, it's all about whether the cat is dead or alive. So
in a box.
So you don't know the answer until you open the box. That's why curiosity kills the cat, right?
Yeah.
But the quantum mechanic answer is the cat is dead and alive until you open that box, right? So it can, you know, you can have so many topics about it, but the way it is the cat is dead and alive at the same time. Was that good enough?
Yeah, I mean, which in itself is beautiful, because it opens up this huge debate. You've got people at one end saying, well, the cat has to be alive. And you have people saying, well, no, the cat has to be death. And then you've got the quantum physicist going, aha, actually, it's both.
Right.
But so, where, you know.
No, but I think for a lot of people, even grasping the concept, even if you suspend disbelief for a lot of people and say, okay, something can be both dead and alive, something can be both one and zero at the same time. The practical applications for it, though, I think that's what most people don't understand. So could you just give us a couple of examples as to how quantum physics has changed our world as we know it?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? For me, it's more about, you know, when I watch football and I don't see a bunch of dudes running around with, like, you know, hitting a ball. For me, it's more about, you know, when he trying to score, the velocity that apply, the force and the curve and everything. So badminton, I'm a big fan of badminton. And, you know, it's not about the force as well. It's all about the dexterity and how you project the trajectory. It can apply for everything, even driving. You know, when you see all the scooters going around like that, you can project the trajectory, make sure you don't
predict
kill the,
where they're going to be. Exactly. You can step out of the way.
Absolutely.
Right. I like that. So in Fabien's mind, all he sees are these lines and graphs on a football pitch. You know, so much for the beautiful game, Fabien. You're ruining it for all of us. We're speaking to Fabien Bouye. He is the Southeast Asia Sales Director for Twitter. But he's also by night a quantum physics enthusiast. When we come back, we'll be asking him just how easy it would be for any one of us to get involved and get interested and get good at quantum physics and quantum mechanics. You're listening to the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Richard and Uma. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are geeking out about quantum physics. That's right, we are.
You see, I remember pitching this idea to some of our other producers saying, I want to talk about quantum physics, I want to talk about mathematics, I want to make it accessible. And some other people
rolled their eyes.
Rolled their eyes, right?
So far back they could see the back of their
heads. Exactly, and yet we come into the studio, we've got Fabien with us, and it's awesome.
That's right, we have Fabien Bouye. He is the Southeast Asia Sales Director for Twitter, but that's only his day job. By night, he is a self-taught quantum physicist, if you will. Fabien, you set up your own website, which is called starandstuff.com, which was set up to explain these major, massive theories. Because, of course, for the longest time, relativity was enough.
That's correct.
For our understanding of the universe. And to a certain extent, relativity is still enough to understand, I guess, our universe up to a point.
That's correct.
And then it goes a bit crazy, and relatively wasn't enough for you. So you decided quantum mechanics was the way forward. Now, tell us what your website does, and tell us, how have people responded to it? Have people become smarter? Has it become easier for them to grasp these crazy concepts?
To be honest, I don't think the initial idea, I didn't do that website. I didn't create that website for people. I created it for myself. It was like a therapy, to be honest. I was trying to push my limit of the understanding of quantum physics. But before I could actually share it with people, I had to be in a position when I can officially be able to talk about it. So that's why I got enrolled with the EDX platform, and I took that quantum physics and mechanics course online with the Berkeley University. And after, you know, getting the certificate, I was rightfully in a position to, you know, build that content.
You felt confident you could share it because you
understood
it.
Exactly. I understood the mathematics behind it. So it was easier for me to draw a cat off, you know, the Schrodinger's cat on the whiteboard without having to, you know, write down the equations behind it. So as soon as I was in a position to do it, it was very easy for me to build the content behind it. But I did it for the people who are curious in general. There's a lot of curious minds out there, and when they're trying to access that knowledge, it's not possible for them due to, you know, the vocabulary that's used in all those books. So I use a very simple vocabulary in like 5-year-old drawings to explain every major quantum physics experiment.
Because you mentioned earlier on that you said you were trying to do it without mathematics. Is that possible? How easy is it to explain such a heavily math-driven concept, because it's so abstract, without all of those A's and X's and B's and numbers?
Well, I'll give you an example. For the Schrodinger's cat, there is a lot of interpretations. So the other one, one of them, is the multiverse. So quantum physics say that when you open that box, it actually creates two branches in the universe, one in which the cat is dead and another one in which the cat is alive. So if you put that into mathematics, your head literally explodes, right? it's crazy. But if you draw it, you can do it in a very simplistic way, yeah. Right? So, you know, or you can give an example in which, you know, I'm a geek, so I play a lot of video games.
You're not on your own, Fabio.
Yeah,
don't worry about
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone in the studio right now is putting up their hands.
Yeah.
There is a wave, you know, like in the football stadium all day. I always give the example of like buying.
Which is a sine curve. No.
You saw the pattern as well. Good. But I mean, you know, it's like buying a PS4 and an Xbox One. Or I always try to bring it to, you know, day-to-day conversation or examples to make it easier for everybody.
Fascinating. Now, I remember reading your webpage the other day, and I looked at your page on quantum entanglement. Now, which is something I'm going to ask you to explain very briefly in a minute. And I remember reading about this when I was much, much younger, and the same result that you had when you kind of had that moment of clarity as to how this thing operates, my mind exploded. And I read your blog, and you were saying how your mind exploded, and you were just like, this changes everything. It alters the way in which you perceive everything around you, the universe and everything. So can you briefly, for those people at home, explain very simplistically what quantum entanglement is?
All right. So in physics, which is the science of big things, Einstein said that nothing can move faster than the speed of light. Okay. Quantum mechanics is the science of very small things. The problem today is when you apply the quantum mechanics rules to the, you know, the bigger physics, they don't match, right? So it's two different separate fields. Now, in quantum physics, if I take an atom and I split it in two, or let's say a particle, sorry, if I split the atom, it's basically, you know,
explosion.
Come on. Yeah, let's take a particle without killing everybody, and I put it in the other side of the universe. Now, if I spin one half of the particle upwards, the other one will automatically and instantly spin downwards. Now, if nothing moves faster than the speed of light, how then can communication happen? Because they're on the other side of the universe. Mm. That's the quantum entanglement theory, in which that even if you actually separate those particles, they are still somehow connected. And that connection is made faster than the speed of light.
There you go.
Right. So philosophically, we're all connected.
Exactly.
Which is the most beautiful way to put it.
Exactly.
Right? Now, how does quantum entanglement then, or how does quantum mechanics coexist with physics? So is there an ongoing battle between scientists of both sides, or is there this uneven peace between both sides, or are they still going, you're wrong, you're absolutely wrong, I'm right?
No, they were fighting back in the 1930s, especially with Niels Bohr and Einstein.
That's right.
When Einstein called the entanglement theory the spooky action at a distance. But I think now with the new wave of physicists like, you know, Hawking and Brian Greene, they are trying to bring a unified theory. And there is a new field which is called the M theory that is trying to bring those two different separate entities back together. So, you know, it's an interesting age era for us to be, because we might be able to understand it better. I'm sad that I can't live forever, because I'm not going to be able to be there when they make those major discoveries. But, you know, I'm convinced that in the next 20 to 30 years we'll be able to have a breakthrough. Yeah.
Right. Because that's the thing, right? The major, major discoveries are still well beyond our lifetime. We're still in the very, very early birth stages, aren't we, of discovery when it comes to quantum physics?
Yeah, absolutely. It's less than 100 years old a topic, so it's still, you know, relatively new.
Right. We're talking quantum physics and quantum mechanics with Fabien Bouyer. I will be asking him about that all-important question of teleportation when we come back after the news. You're listening to The Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good evening. I'm Uma Pagan, I'm PK Pagan.
And I'm Richard Bradbury.
And on the evening edition today, Fabien Bouyer, Southeast Asia Sales Director of Twitter. But we're not talking about Twitter, because by night, Fabien is a quantum physicist, self-taught through online courses. This is why I love the modern age. You can have an interest, you can go online, and you can get a degree in something.
Absolutely.
In just out of your own volition and your own sense of purpose. I mean, there's no better time to live, really.
Exactly. I mean, do you remember getting those books that the universities would put out, and they would list the name of courses that you could enroll on, and it was so very limited. Now, you just go online, I want a course on quantum physics, and I want to be able to do it from home. Boom, there you go. It's there.
I know.
Amazing stuff.
So, Fabien, we've spoken about your love of science and some of the, I guess, major theories in quantum physics, entanglement, Schrodinger's cat. Let's talk about some of these future applications, if you will, because every time someone brings up quantum mechanics, they talk about Star Trek stuff. Teleportation. What do you say? Teleportation. What are we talking about? Is it actually possible?
Well, it's not just tomorrow you're going to be able to beam Scotty up, but at the molecular level, you can already teleport some information. The thing is that you don't actually teleport the same. You destroy that information in one place and you recreate it somewhere else.
So you're cloning information?
Exactly, right. Basically. So if you have to do it at the, you know, human trial level, you will have to die and then be resuscitated
somewhere else. Oh, I have images of Jeff Goldblum and things going tragically wrong.
The fly.
Yeah.
But okay, so it has to... And so I'm assuming a molecule or a particle with a certain amount of information obviously is a lot less than an entire human being, which would probably have...
Billions upon billions
upon terabytes upon whatever of information. And I guess that's the big major stepping stone?
Well, imagine that you're trying to disassemble something and then trying to recreate it. So if it's at the molecular level, there's so many information to be transported. Imagine if it's not in the right order. So it might have your nose in your armpit or, you know, one eye behind your head or something like this. So it has to be... I think the technology today is not right there to do. It's not possible today.
But it's been used in applications like quantum computers, and is that right?
They've been doing this with lasers.
Interesting.
Now. Yeah, so they can transfer the information from, I think it was from an island to another, like very close by. I can't remember the place, but they were using lasers. Everything is done by lasers these days. But for the human trial, maybe another 1,000 years, I'll say.
1,000 years?
Yeah. The technology needs to catch up.
All right. The only thing I can hope for that is in 50 years, they come up with some kind of viable cryogenics that may be able to preserve us.
You want to live forever, don't
you? Until that point. Right. I just want to see something like that happen.
I know, right? We're completely born in the wrong age, I think.
They're already trying this at the medical level. When you have someone who is involved in a car crash, they can... put the body in standby for a couple of hours for the time to, you know, find the best way to fix it. So that's the first step into cryogenia, I'll say.
So you have stasis for 2 hours.
2 hours. Mm. 2 hours. Now we just need to keep growing that.
Right.
Till it's 2,000 years. No, teleportation, what about warp drive and, I guess, faster than light travel? Because, like you said, quantum mechanics and quantum physics allows for faster than light travel. But what about not just particle spinning, but human faster than light travel?
Well, there is this theory in which you can actually travel at the speed of light without breaking the laws of physics. The funny thing is you're not actually moving per se. It means that you are bending the space around you and you're moving that spends time around you, but technically you're not moving. So we'll be able to, the NASA is already working on different designs and the technology is there. I think they're doing the experiment at the, again, molecular level. But I would say within the next 50 to maybe 100 years, we'll be able to travel a couple years away from here.
Speaking of NASA and all things space-related, you have an experiment going up on the ISS, is that right?
So the idea is I entered a contest with NCASA, which is the Malaysian National Space Agency. And the idea was to submit an experiment in which you can submit a crazy idea. And if you select it, then they would conduct it, the experiment in zero gravity in the ISS space station. So my proposal was to prove that carbonation in zero gravity doesn't actually cannot actually happen.
Right.
So the idea is when you blow bubbles in a glass of water, you mix carbonic acid, carbon dioxide with H2O that creates carbonic acid. Now, the water stays together and the bubbles are formed because of the effect of gravity.
Yeah.
Now, if you do that in zero gravity condition, can the bubbles be formed?
Right.
So when the astronaut performed the experiment, it proved that it actually can't happen.
Wow.
For some reason.
Wow. So you've gone from YouTubing videos on quantum mechanics to have an experiment happening up in the ISS. That's not bad, Fabian, is it?
It's been a crazy 3 months.
Fantastic. You know, and that will go down now in the annals of science.
Yeah.
As being proven in the ISS, as suggested by Fabien Boyer.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been
very cool.
Beautiful. And there is another experiment that has been done by two sisters in Malaysia, actually. They were trying to prove the Bernoulli's effect. And I found that amazing for anybody who's got that curiosity to be able to apply. And they will review every, you know, possibilities. And you can come from anywhere in the world and you can submit that experiment. And, you know, it was a massive achievement for me to be a part of this. It's open again this year. So if you guys want to submit, you can actually check out the website.
That is absolutely incredible. And you know why? It fills me with a little bit of hope. That you know, that Malaysians are doing this and that we've embarked on it and that they're applying and things are getting done. Because something I'm very passionate about is the lack of science education. There is science education. You know, we learn all the physics, the chemistry, the biology. We learn all the basics. But there's a lack of emphasis on how important it is in everyday life. Mm. I'm assuming, Fabian, this is something that you feel incredibly strongly about as well. Because there's so much noise at the moment, right? Because if you somehow love science, it means you are immediately anti-religion.
That's correct. I mean, for me, you know, I have met a lot of scientists in my life who are believers in different faith. And I don't think that science today is trying to deny the existence of God. And that's why I don't really understand that battle. And I'm trying, to be honest, to stay away from it.
Mm.
My main purpose is to be able to share the love about quantum physics, astrophysics, any particular topic around science to the curious mind. Everybody who's got an interest about science, who wants to be a part of that conversation, it doesn't mean that you need to have a PhD in mathematics to be trying to solve the mysteries of the universe. You can be someone who works in a Mamak store. You can be someone who is a hairdresser. You know, there is no little jobs. As long as you have the curiosity behind it and you want to be a part of that conversation, you can today for free. And that's my fight. That's what I'm trying to do.
I noticed, though, that for... I wouldn't say it's just Malaysians, but for a large percentage of people, that... the idea of curiosity seems to be diminishing. You know, the whole idea of just like researching something just because you're interested, it seems to have disappeared, and we're just consuming things that are meh. Do you know what I mean?
That's there, and yeah, you're right. And I'm curious, Fabien, your curiosity, this innate curiosity, it is, where did it come from? Was it your parents? Was it your upbringing? Was it schools? Was it education? What made you, do you think, the curious individual you are today?
Life in general. I come from a very modest family. You know, my mom was working 2-3 jobs just to get by. You know, I remember even having, you know, going to the shop and have food stamps. You know, it was very tough. And the only thing I had is the love for my parents. That's the only they always pushed me to, you know, to be who I wanted to be. And I became who I am today when I moved to Africa when I was 18. I was doing some NGO work. I just had the chance to meet a couple of very interesting people and traveled. When I traveled a lot, I become very curious and I stumbled upon science and I'm like, I want to know more about that.
Yeah,
I feel so inadequate. I'm gonna sign up for some Ankasa program right now. Fabien Boyer, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute blast. I could sit here and talk to you
for hours
and geek out, but I'm afraid that's all the time we have. You've been listening to the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.